Today is Monday, November 19th. This is the Gemara Shir, Moed Katan, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Bet.
Rabotai, next week I have the parent-teacher conferences in school, so I don't want to give up the shir. I can give it Monday night, Tuesday night, or Sunday morning, let's say after the 8 o'clock minyan, 8:45-ish, something around that time. If you can come to either
Tuesday night
is better.
Next Tuesday night it is.
Okay. And I have to stop early a little early tonight also because I have a very, very important RCBC meeting. Extremely important. It's starting in a few minutes, but I said I can't get it to share completely. Just do the important parts of the agenda later. Some of them are a waste of time. Some of them are very important. Okay, we are on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Bet, in the middle of the page, and one he'ara, brief he'ara, on the Gemara that we concluded with. The Gemara itself mentioned that the analogy to the pasuk to which stated Shigayon de David Asher Shar Lashem Al Divrei Kush Benyamini. So the Gemara asked, what do you mean Kush? His name was Shaul. So the Gemara darshaned and said that just as a Kushi, his skin is abundantly evident that his skin is different than everyone else's, so too were Shaul's ma'asim exemplary. That's what the Gemara said. And the Gemara brought two proofs to this. And one of them was in relationship to Tzipora, where the Torah describes Tzipora as an Isha Kushit. Doesn't identify her by name, but it says Isha Kushit. And just as Kushi is, again, known, recognized, so too are Mishuna b'ma'aseha. So if you take the first sheet, you have on the right-hand side Mishnas HaRishonim. This is a comment of a Talmud of Rabbi Yechiel Miparis. And he writes as follows. In what respect was Tzipora ma'aseha no'eh? Says he, Sherov tzni'ut haitaba. She had an incredible sense of modesty and keeping things to herself. Shelo gilsa eitzasa al rei oseha. She did not reveal anything about what? Her friends, Reo Seha. Shekain hu derech nashim lisap... I'm sorry, Nechama. Derech nashim lisaper lichavrotehen im sheba'alehen poresh mihen. A woman has to have somebody to tell that her husband has left her. So who are you going to tell? Your close friends. So Tzipora made it a point that she did not reveal the fact that Moshe had separated himself from her. And in that respect, her sense of tzniut and modesty was exemplary. And that's why we make the drash, she's called an Isha Kushit, because ma'aseha no'eh, her actions. Says the Rima Pariz, this is in respect. However, ubisifri darish, in the Sifri it says, mishuna bimarita. It doesn't say mishuna bimaaseha, but in her looks, shahaita yifat toar biyoter. She was incredibly good looking. And in that respect, that's why it says Kushit, because she was very, very attractive and everybody noticed her beauty. And If the Sifri already gives such an interpretation, we can understand why a Rishon has to offer something else. Because that's not exactly the type of virtue that you would think that the Torah is emphasizing when it says, you know, they spoke against Miriam. Great, yeah. We place a premium on Sheker Hachain Vehevel Hayofi. That's what we say every Friday night. So we understand why different Rishonim happen to disagree with the Sifri, but that's point number one.
But yet every single one of our Imahot are described as extremely beautiful.
In the Torah, yes, in the Torah. That is correct. As Yifas Torah, be Yifas Moran.
Don't the Farshim interpret that as being attracted as
Maaseh? Right. Correct. That's exactly what happens. Because they don't like that the Torah is... That's correct. But
From the Torah's perspective... Abimelech and... what's his name? They didn't see Rov Maaseh.
Yeah.
That's correct. Yeah. That's true. Now, point number two. In the Gemara we read that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to David... said to David that where is that?
Shira Tomer Amapalto.
You think what are you singing praises for?
Amar Amato Shal Shalom.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Almata, where is that? Almata Shar.
I don't know where it is here.
Halfway down of the large lines.
Yes, I'm looking for it, yeah. Yeah, let me just find it.
Oh, here it is.
Here it is. I got it.
First line is shell.
Yes. So the phrase starts before. Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeDavid. Everybody have it?
Yes.
David Shira Ata Omer Amapalato Shel Shaul. Ilmale Ata Shaul. Vehu David Ibadati Kama David Mipanav. Had you been Shaul, and he was David, a lot of people would have been pushed aside because of him. So, Tosfos in Megillah happens to tell us the difference between Ilmalei with an Aleph and Ilmalei with a Yud. How would you translate the word Ilmalei? If not, how would you translate the word Ilmalei with a Yud? If not, so Tosfos points out, it's not just b'mikre. Read the Tosfos on page number 2, Tosfos in Megillah. Says Tosfos, Shiyesh, forget about the question on the Gemara. Shiyesh ilmole, shirotza lomar ilu, lo. Ilu, lo. What if this had not happened? So under those circumstances, you write Ilmalei with an Aleph to indicate that I am proposing not the current situation, but assuming that this had not happened, then X, Y, and Z. Then on the next line, V'yesh Ilmalei, Shirotzo Lomar, Ilu Haya Ilmalei Negdua Lichananya Rimadami Umaishna. What's the difference? Oimer Rabbeinu Tam, last line. The Hecha Shiesh Aleph Besof Ilmalei Rotze Lomar Ilu Lo. The Hecha Dichsiv Ilmalei Biyud Rotze Lomar Ilu Haya. So when you're looking to describe a situation that doesn't exist, either it doesn't exist because something already happened, and you're saying, you know, let's assume that would not have happened, then you use the Ilmalei with an Aleph. However, if you're looking to describe a situation that hasn't happened, but are saying, imagine that had occurred, then it's Ilmalei with a Yud. So In our Gemara, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to David? Ilmale ata Shaul. With a yud. Had it really happened, that what? That you and Shaul would have switched personalities, then whatever we say what happened to Shaul, you know, would not have happened to Shaul. And we'd have to push away plenty of Davids, because you, David, would now become Shaul. But his personality, his whatever they were much greater than you. So if you occupied his personality, if that would have happened, we'd be pushing aside Kama David. But if it would say Il Malay when in Aleph, it means had that not happened. Right? Just telling your point. Remember that for the rest of your life.
So what's Hashem saying? That Shaul's personality combined with your mazel, he would have been better than you, David.
That is correct. Much better. That's correct.
Whatever the heck mazel means.
Right. Then the question which the Gemara asked, or many Rishonim and Achronim asked on Rashi. We read the Rashi which says on the word Atah Shaul, the second narrow line, Shinolata bin Mazlo, had you been born during his zodiac. Exactly. So the question which everybody asks is, I just wanted to show you where the source in the Gemara is. On page 3, Masechet Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Vav Amud Beis, Shmuel is the author of this opinion. Ein Mazal LiYisrael. Even though there are other sources as well, but this is a lot of people identify this particular Gemara as a statement that we are never determined by the Mazalot, and it gives credibility to the fact that other nations are determined by the Mazalot, which gives credibility. I think I mentioned the Machloikis, the Ramban, and the Rambam. I didn't? Okay, so the Rambam writes that all these Mazalot nonsense are, this is the Rambam's words, for petiyim fools and people who believe in shtuyot. That's what the Rambam writes. And same thing is true for all of the things which the Torah tells us not to believe in. Ov, Yidoni, and Doresh El Hametim, somebody who inquires of the dead. The Rambam writes it's absolutely nonsense. And anybody who believes it is just a total fool. Asks the Ramban in Chumash. He quotes the Rambam in Mari Nevuchim, who says this, and he also preached it in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. He asks the Rambam the following question: why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to spend so much ink space in the Torah for nothing but nonsense? You mean to tell me if there were Ov and Yodoni followers and Doresh Alameitim? So one Jew will say, you know, let me try this. And nothing's going to happen. Because it's nothing but shtuyot. So you mean to tell me HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to write in Parshas Achrei Mos and Parshas Kedoshim and in Parshas Kisetze over and over, you're not supposed to follow this? Any person who tried it will tell you it's absolute nonsense.
So, okay.
That's a good question. So that's a very good question. I don't know how the Ramban will respond to that. But so the Ramban says, since the Torah spends so much time, must be that they have some capability, that those people who inquire of the dead can indeed secure information about the future. And same thing with this Ov and Yidoni, whatever it is. And the same thing with, you know, a certain, I don't know, whatever it is. Gazing the stars and so on and so forth. That's why the Torah had to prohibit it. Where does the Ramban write this? In his commentary on the Pasuk in Parshas Shoftim, Tamim Tihiyeh Im Hashem Elokecha. What does that mean to be wholesome with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Ramban writes, it means that despite the fact that you have other avenues of availing yourself the potential for the future, That would be very helpful for me. I would not be teaching. I'd be on the stock market if I knew could predict the future a little. And so the Ramban says, you should be whole with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should not make any such inquiries, but rather either HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals it to a Navi who shares with us, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to know what's going to happen in the future, and therefore we should not inquire as to what might happen. So this idea here about Mazel Yisrael, Ein Mazel Yisrael, is supportive of the Ramban's position. If none of these had any effect, what's the big deal, Ein Mazel Yisrael? Nobody has any mazalot. They believe in it, but it doesn't accomplish anything. So the Ramban would say, that's exactly what the Chiddush is, Ein Mazal Yisrael. We are not guided by the principles of astrology or anything else. The only one who governs and dictates the fate of Am Yisrael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, but that's a very famous machlokes, but your question about Avodah Zarah is a very good one. Because the Torah, the Tehillim, or David HaMelech, describes Avodah Zarah as Eitz Vo'Even, Ma'aseh Yedei Adam, Pelohem, V'lo Yidaberu, Einayim Lo Yiru, Aplem, Lo Yiru, and so on and so forth. So why would anybody believe in it? And the Torah says the Gaon reminds us 91 times against Avodah Zarah. There are 91 warnings, the majority of Sefer Dvarim, when it's over and over again. So why would the Torah have to warn us 91 times if it's a bunch of nonsense? And it is a bunch of nonsense. I don't know. Well, people then certainly believe that it has something. I don't know.
So what would Shmuel say about, so when he says in Mazal Yisrael, so what's the statement of Mazal to David and Shlomo? There must be some Mazal.
Oh, no, that's why they disagree with Rashi. That Ilu Haya Nola, if you would switch places, the Gemara doesn't say, Rashi says Mazlo Shi Yisrael.
Oh, Mazal.
Mazal. So they have a different interpretation, which, we'll see in a second.
Is there a difference between individuals and nations?
What?
Individuals and nations, meaning as a nation, we're not under Mazal, but as individuals.
Could be, it's possible. But there is a Gemara in Masachas Yuma, on that page number 4, where the Gemara says, on the bottom of the page, the Gemara says, Amar Rab Yochem Mishim Rab Shimon Yehotzada, Ein Ma'amidim Parnes Al Hatzibur, Elo Imkein Kupa Shel Shratzim, Tluya lo me'achorav. When I read this Gemara first, I said, what are they talking about? You are not permitted to appoint a leader, Parnes is a leader, on the Tzibur, unless there is a can, kupa, like a stucker box, or a box, shel shratzim, little creepy bugs, hanging on him in his back.
Behind him.
Then you can appoint this person as a
leader.
Right. She'im tazuach da'ato alav, if he should suddenly get a little swell-headed, omrim lo chazor le'acharecha. Look behind you. You're nothing but a little sheretz. Nothing a little worm. In other words, now that's how some interpret this as being a symbol of what? Of gaiva. Others say it has nothing to do with a real thing on your back, but it's a symbol of pigam mishpacha, pegam mishpacha, that your lineage is not exactly stellar. Not exactly stellar. So if you were overreacting or overreaching, trying to dominate people too much, so then they'll say, you know where you come from that and that person. So one of the great things about David HaMelech was that what? He came from Rus. So if David HaMelech had been a little swell-headed, they would have said, you know, you came from a Moabite woman. Don't be such a big shot, Mr. David HaMelech. And Shaul did not have any pegam in his mishpacha. So he actually was mitga'eh b'malchuto. He actually was... A little arrogant. So, and when he was a little arrogant, what would they have said to him? What should have they said? That's why they said, if you and Shaul would have switched, what would have happened? So then Shaul would be able to be tamed a little by saying, Zechor ma'asecha, me'avosecha, just remember who you are a little. So this equation between David and Shaul was not such a big rank on David HaMelech. It was actually something a little positive. You know what? You, David HaMelech, you're singing now a song of glory that what? That you trumped Mr. Shaul. Now Shaul, his lineage was perfect. Perfect. You, David HaMelech, after all, don't come from such good lineage. So someone who doesn't come from such good lineage should not boast about what? Defeating someone who does not have this can of schrutzen behind him. That's what the complaint of HaKadosh, of the way the Gemara interpret the Gemara. Has nothing to do with mazalot. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to David, you know what? If you were switched into Shaul, you wouldn't have been so humble either, because you don't have any chisronot. So, and he, unfortunately, didn't have, but it led to a negative consequence that he was boastful, arrogant. You were very nice. So don't suddenly ruin it by singing a shir on the demise of Shaul. Because if he, when you, that's how some interpret, it's got nothing to do with mazalot. With mazalot. Well, the Gemara continues on its excellent drush exercise and says, "Kayotze badavar ata omer." We're up to the last one. Vayishma Eved Melech HaKushi V'chikushi Shemo Halo Tzidkiya Shemo Ela Ma Kushi Mishuna Ve'olo Af Tzidkiyahu Mishuna B'ma'aso. So Tzidkiyahu is described as a very, very
righteous
king. And in fact, the Gemara in Hoirius, page 5, confirms this based on a different drash. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Hu Shalom, Hu Tzidkiyahu. Shalom is the same person as Tzidkiyahu. There is a pasuk which the Gemara previously quotes. Not the pasuk. I may have it a little later. Answers the Gemara. V'loma nikra shemo shalom shahaya mishulam b'ma'asav. He was complete in his actions. Complete in his actions. And so too, page 6, a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahachzir Es HaOlam Kulo Litohu Vavohu Bishvil Yehoyakim. Litzareinu Harav, the overwhelming majority of Malchei Yisrael, 99% of Malchei Yisrael, and 70% of Malchai Yehuda were oisvarfs. Oisvarfs. It's just unbelievable what kind of negative leadership they brought. They, almost all of them, worshipped Avodah Zarah and were proud of it. And the Gemara said that Menashe, Melech Yisrael, worshipped more Avodah Zarah than every other king collectively. He was the master, the king of Avodah Zarah. Of course, everybody also knows the story that Abaye came to to Menashe in a dream. And he said, "You fool," like Yehuda just said, "what do you see in Avodah Zarah? It helps nothing. Nothing at all. How can you run after it?" Answered Menashe to him, "If you were in my generation, you'd be kissing the tochus," that's the Gemara says, "of every Avodah Zarah that ever lived." There was such an attraction. It was like bordering on a sexual attraction. That's how Chazal understand it. And that's why Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were mispalel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should change human character and take away the ta'ava of Avodah Zarah. That's why somebody doing Bayis Sheni, ain't nobody worshiping Avodah Zarah. It was only 70 years in Bavel, and they probably saw plenty of Avodah Zarah in Bavel. What happened when they got back to Eretz Yisrael? Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to allow it. I don't exactly know what that means. I'm just telling you what the Gemara says.
So why did Hashem reward all these kings with so many years of Malchus?
It's an excellent question.
And Menashe ruled for 40 years? Or
51 years.
51, I mean...
He set the record, I think. I don't know. You have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So anyhow, Yehoyakim was one of those guys who was an oisvarf. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to return the world to Toihu Vavayu. Wow, the Toihu Vavayu. However, Nistakel Bidoro Viniskarer Dato. He looked at his generation and he calmed down. A lot of people didn't follow Yehoyakim, and also he felt that they were influenced by them, and they were like anusin. You know, when the king tells you to worship Avodah Zarah, it's a little difficult to turn him down. Next phrase: Bikesh Hakadosh Baruch Hu lahachzir solam kulo tov bishvil doro shel Tzidkiyah. In the generation of Tzidkiyah, they wanted to do this. Nistakel b'Tzidkiyah, Hakadosh Baruch Hu looked at what in Tzidkiyah viniskarara da'ato. However, Tanakh reports, as the Gemara says right here, we'll see the pasuk inside, that Bitsitkiya namiksiv vayas hora be'enei Hashem. Well, how can he be such a gross tzaddik if it says black on green that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry on the fact that he did something wrong? Answers the Gemara, shahaya biyado limchos velo micha. He personally was tzaddik in Pels. But, however, he didn't use his influence to try to change anybody. That's always the criticism of Chazal against Noach. He is Noach ish tzaddik, tamim hayar b'dorosav, but he made no effort, apparently, to try to get anybody else to mend their ways. And that was one mistake of Tzidkiyahu. One mistake. So he's a greater person, but he's not... So that's the answer they give. Okay. That's the answer they give. Some ask the question that if the text says that Vayas HaRa B'Enei Hashem, so Yecheskel actually calls, based on the pasuk, on Chazal, excuse me, Rishaim b'chayeim koruyim mason, a Rasha even during the time of his life is considered a Rasha, called a dead person. And Yecheskel, turn the next page, Yecheskel talking about Tzidkiyah, Ve'ata chalal Rasha, Nasi Yisrael Asherba, Yomo be'et avon keitz. Wow. Look at what Yechezkel calls him. He calls him a cholo and a rasha who was Nasi Yisrael, the prince of Israel. How can the Gemara say that what? That he's Azoy Groysa Tzadik? If he's a rasha, he ought to die, as Chazal say, but Rishaim Bechayem Kriya Mason. And that's why he calls him a cholo. So, what in the world, you know, how, why is the Gemara here praising Tzidkiah that he's like the Ben Kushi? Just as the Kushi, is his color is so evident, the Ma'asim of Tzidkiah were abundantly evident. Not so abundantly evident. And in fact, in Sefer Melachim, page 8, it says, Vaya Sarah Be'eni Hashem, Kichol Asher Asa Yehoyakim. Wow. Now we normally look at Tzidkiah as a positive king, as a fairly good role model. But nonetheless, this pasuk condemns him. Condemns him. So there are, everybody likes to come up with an excuse. Yeah, he was a great tzaddik, but he only violated two things. One was, as it says in the next pasuk, Vayimrod Tzidkiyahu b'melech Bavel. Who is that melech Bavel? Nebuchadnezzar. Because when Nebuchadnezzar was looking to what? To make his trek to go capture the rest of the world, usually Melech Ashur. So Tzidkiyahu wanted to make an alliance with Mitzrayim against Nebuchadnezzar. And Yirmiyahu told him, Beli loy bitar aleph. Absolutely not. You cannot make an alliance. This is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to allow him to trek through Eretz Yisrael. He was going to tell Nebuchadnezzar, you can't go through my land, and make an alliance with Mitzrayim to protect him. So he violated two things. He disagreed with, he challenged Melech Bavel, and he didn't listen to a Navi at this particular time. So everybody says, yeah, that's why Yechezkel called him a Chalal and a Rasha, because he didn't listen to one of his co-Nevi'im. That was Yirmiyahu, and he was very upset about it. But, on the other hand, he was a Grois of Tzadik. That's how they try to reconcile this Gemara with other statements in Tanakh. It's something that Chazal do all the time. All the time. Because they can't tolerate people who appear to us as tzaddikim that they're not really such great tzaddikim. It's not such great tzaddikim. So you try to make terutzim. We're going to see one in relationship to David HaMelech in just a second. Famous teretz concerning his activity with his cherished wife. How he got his cherished wife. And the Torah says, the Navi says, Vayasara, Mein Hashem. Mm-hmm. And Chazal, the Gemara will read it, tries to...
Hello, Mershah David Kote.
Eino El Toeh. Right. Yeah.
Maybe he got the Kapharo when he died. It was a terrible death. Right? His sons and all
that. Yeah, that's possible. That is possible. That is possible. Yeah. Okay. So that is concerning Tzidkiyahu. That concerning Tzidkiyahu. Then the Gemara continues. So Rashi in the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, which I didn't read to you yet. But Rashi there, I should have photostanded that Rashi, that was a mistake. Rashi says that these two chataim that he challenged Yirmiyahu and challenged Yirmiyahu are the only two chataim of his entire life. That's what Rashi says. So, therefore, the Awu Gemara can describe him as a tzaddik. I guess if you go your whole life and only do two things wrong, that's a pretty good batting average. Pretty good batting average. You like the Paxson trade? You're not a Met fan. I know you're a Met fan. Quite James Paxson today. Yeah. But
well, except one of his sins led to Chorban Bayis Rishon, right?
Paxson.
That is correct. James Paxson.
We're talking Paxson.
I'm sorry, I'm back to the Gemara.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big one.
Yeah. Rashi says that. Rashi says that.
I thought you were talking about the train.
No. Listen, the Mets are already a Chorban.
Look at on page 9, it's Psukim Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. Ben Esrim V'ach HaShana Tzidkiyo B'malcho. It was 21 years when Tzidkiyo was reigning. V'achas Yisrael Malach B'Yerushalayim V'ayas Hara B'Einei Hashem Elohov Lo Nichna Mipnei Yirmiyahu Mipi Hashem. He did not succumb to Yirmiyahu's advice. V'gam B'Melech HaNevuchadnetzar Morod Asher Hishbiyo B'Elohim. He also challenged, rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had sworn that this Nebuchadnezzar is going to succeed this time. I'm very sorry, Mr. Tzidkiyo. So the Rashi right there says that these are the only two chataim in all of Tzidkiyahu's life. All of Tzidkiyahu's life.
Tisha B'av morning, there's a tina about that.
What?
Tisha B'av morning.
No, it's. No, I thought it was also
Yoshiyahu.
I ran to my Kinnis book because I said I'm going to photostat it and show Vayikonein Yirmiyahu Al Tzidkiyahu. As it was running through my mind, I looked at it. It's Yoshiyahu, not to talk about. Right.
He did fight. He did change all of the Malchus.
Who?
Yoshiyahu.
Yes.
That's a difference.
Yes. That's correct. Well, even though I was going to show you in the text of that thing. That he wasn't so successful.
Because behind the doors, they.
Asher kamu acharei hadeles lizgor. In full view of everybody, they were koyset tzaddikim. They closed the door. There was the avodah zarah. Exactly.
And he was still also mar. I mean, he got killed in the war because he didn't listen to the navi. Also,
right. So I. That's correct. So I wrote that in my little notes, but I in bikinis al tzidkiyo. Wrote that here. Then I went up and checked to try to get the post that. It's Yoshiyui. Yeah. Continues the Gemara. With another one of these. It says, Kayotse Badavar Ata Omer. It's the Haftara of Parshas Acharei Mos. Halo Kivnei Kushiyim Atemli Beis Yisrael. You are unto me like the children of Kushiyim. V'chikushiyim shimon, v'halo Yisrael shimon. Elama kushi mishune ba'oro, af Yisrael mishunim b'ma'aseyem mikol ha'omot. So too, Am Yisrael are different than all other nations from the rest of the world. From the rest of the world. Yeah. So, almost all Rishonim believe that the Gemara here is trying to tell us that Am Yisrael's behavior is better than anybody else's. So if you go to page 13 for a minute, I photostated the Haftarah. From this particular Chumash that I selected, it says the Haftarah Parshas Kedoshim. And our most chumashim is written on Achrei Mos, and we never read the Haftarah Parshas Kedoshim, the real one, from Yecheskel, which describes Toevot B'Yerushalayim, and we don't read Ein Korin Ein Machtirin B'Toevos Yerushalayim B'Farhesia. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Never read about the abominations of the city of Yerushalayim. So even if Achrei Mos and
Doshim are
separate, we read them Halo Kivnei Shuyim 2 weeks in a row. So this year it's going to be separate because it's a leap year. Don't get shocked. We're going to read it Parshas Acharei Mos. That's what the Rav always said. Read it. This. So if you look at this Haftarah, it says it supports the. No, he has to tell all the Gabbai what to do. Oh, yeah, you stole that. Yeah. So it looks like it's supporting the Gemara's conclusion. Halo kivnei kushiyim atem li b'nei Yisrael nu mashem. Halo es Yisrael ha'eleisi mir mitzrayim. I took them out of Mitzrayim. Hinei Hashem alokim b'mamachta ha'chata'a. God's eyes are directed in the kingdom which sins, which is currently in Israel. V'hishmadati osa me'al p'nei ha'adamah. I'm going to eradicate this nation of the world. Efes kilo hashmed ashmid et Beit Yaakov the Mashem. But I will never eradicate all of Am Yisrael. Now, the Gemara here, this seems to support the Gemara, and it just tells them that again. Look at the last pasuk. It's so that's what it says. V'shavti et shvut ami bnei Yisrael, ami Yisrael. I'm going to return them. Ubanu arim neshamot v'yashavu. They will build cities that have been desolated. V'natu chiramim v'shasu eshinam v'asu ganot v'achlu et priyam. Unatatim alad matam. I will eventually replant them on their land. V'lo yinatshu od bi'alad matam asher notati lohem amar Hashem alukecha. So this seems to be, you know, very promising. However, the connection between this Haftarah and Parshas Acharei Mos is actually a little difficult to understand. Acharei Mos has two primary topics. Avodas Yom HaKippurim until Revi'i, and then Revi'i, almost the end of the Parsha, Arayos. That's all it is. But at the very end of the Parsha, the Torah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, not to levilti asos is kol ateyavos ha'ele, velo saki ha'aretz bitama achem ota. You will not, the land will not spit you out when you defile it. So the Gemara says, ein eretz Yisrael soveles oivrei aveira. It's just a natural reaction of the land. The land can't tolerate abomination and sin. So if Am Yisrael are going to be guilty, guaranteed that they're going to go to Golos. They're going to go to Golos. And in fact, on that very famous pasuk, there is a more famous Ramban than the pasuk itself. The Ramban writes on that particular pasuk that when we are in Galut, the only reason why we observe mitzvot is to remember how to perform them when we come back to Eretz Yisrael. It startles everybody as if there is no value in Kiyum HaMitzvot in Chutz La'aretz other than, and he's not only talking about the mitzvah of Challah, which we observe today, Shelo Tishtakach Torah Schad. There's no mitzvah of Challah today in Chutz La'aretz, only in Eretz Yisrael. But we observe it in Chutz La'aretz, so the Lord shouldn't be forgotten. We don't.
He's saying that there's no
kiyum. He says there's no kiyum
HaMitzvah. Right, but that doesn't mean there's no kiyum.
If there's no kiyum HaMitzvah, why would you have to do something? Yeah. You're not mekayim HaMitzvah. You're doing it just for practice. It's a very famous Ramban, and people are not happy with it. But the Ramban said it. So, in light of this, I want to show you a Ravid who believes that this phrase ought to be interpreted not positively in our Gemara, but negatively. Take a look at it's the Tosfos HaRosh, page 10.
He's in Ravid, right?
He quotes the Ravid. They don't have a Perush HaRavid on my part. But he's quoted frequently by the Tosfos HaRosh. Ma kushi zeh mishuna ba'oro af Yisrael mishun kol moshon. Perush HaRavid mishunim b'ma'aseihem lira mikol ha'umot she'ehein ein machlifim yu'atam habizuya v'hapechuta. They never abandoned their avodah zarah. As nonsensical, as idiotic as this avodah zarah is, they never abandoned it. V'Yisrael machlifin yirat haborei. Shehi mi'ule min hakol be'etz v'evan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is certainly far superior than Eitz v'Even. But nonetheless, Am Yisrael abandoned HaKadosh Baruch Hu in favor of Avodah Zarah. So says the Ravid, why are Am Yisrael called Halo Kivnei Kushiyim? Not because they're what? Such good kids. They're what? They're terrible kids. And the connection to the Pasuk is not that you're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael, but the connection to the pasuk is you're going to get kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, velo sakias, because the land's going to kick you out. B'tama achem osa, and in that respect, we're somewhat different than all other nations. It's an unusual read because every other episode of this sequence are highlighting positive features and not necessarily negative features, and it could have easily taken the easy route. Based on what? Based on, Am Yisrael and the Haftarah, below you not Shu, oh, Be'al of Matam. So you can say that even though Am Yisrael will be exiled, there is a promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never destroy Am Yisrael. And eventually, as Chazal say, Sof Yisrael La'asot Tshuva. Eventually, Am Yisrael will recognize and will do Tshuva. And the pasuk which says "Vishavta ad Adoshem Elokecha," that you should do tshuva, some say is not a mitzvah; it's a haftacha that eventually Am Yisrael, it's a few prediction, will do tshuva at some future time. So that's just an interesting way of the Ravid interpreting this.
So is the pasuk when it says "Hello"? Are they saying we are like Kushim or not like?
No, we are. Hello, Kushiyim. You are you not like Kushiyim, Ne'um Hashem? That's the way to interpret it. Yeah.
It is opposite. All the others.
Is it? Yes.
That's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu from one of the Shloshet HaParnos. I don't know if it's the first one or the second one.
Which says what?
Send the Elohim alo Elohim by me himiris.
Ami, yeah, 100%.
That's the same idea.
That's the same idea, 100%. Yeah. No doubt. Very good. I think it's the second one. Yeah. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmen Omar Rabbi Yonasan. My dechsev, Ne'um David ben Yishai, Ne'um Hagever, who come all? What does that pasuk mean? Ne'um David ben Yishai, Shehekim Avlo Shal Tshuva, or Ola Shal Tshuva. There are two different ways how to read it. What does it say in that Gemara? The what? Ula. Then it should be Avla. If it's not Ola, then it should be Avla. So what does this mean? That David HaMelech popularized, solidified the role of tshuva, how significant it is. Because he did a terrible thing, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed his kingdom to be sustained. Because he did tshuva.
He admitted.
What?
He admitted it.
100%. He admitted it. When, who was the Navi at that time?
Natan.
Who? Natan. He gave him this little story. David HaMelech says, Anihu. I'm the guy in that story. So, David HaMelech, elevated and highlighted the power of tshuva. So, that's a very positive statement to make. But the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, page 11, takes it one step further. It's a difficult word which I'm going to read. V'hayinu d'amar Rav Yochanan mishum Rav Shimon bar Yochai, lo David ra'ui le'osa ma'aseh. Es pasnish for David that he should have done such a thing. V'lo Yisrael ra'uyin le'osa ma'aseh. And Am Yisrael were also not worthy of engaging in whatever the Gemara just described. Lo David ra'u lo samasa dechsev velibi chalal bikirbi. What does he mean to say? It was only my heart desecrated me. But he didn't really want to do it. He didn't plan on doing it. He didn't have any enjoyment doing it. He just did it. And why are people looking, and why does the Gemara say that kolam edavet lo chata elatoweh? It's because Chazal have a practice that we have to defend all of our spiritual heroes. Chazal believe that I have to portray them as absolute tzaddikim. And that's why Rashi, who's one of the biggest subscribers to this opinion, will often, just let things go. The first time when this comes up, because the Ramban attacks viciously, is in Parshas Lech Lecha, where Avram tells Sarai to say, Hinina Achosia, Imrina Achosia, Lamanita Libigut Babaret. Rashi never criticizes Avram for that. You look at the Ramban, and he says, this is one of the biggest chatoim of Avram. And the entire Golus Mitzrayim was as a result of this thing by Avram. The Ramban constantly points out people's weaknesses, and that's the approach that I try to take with my students. Nobody is perfect. Nobody. Even Moshe Rabbeinu made a terrible mistake. No matter how you try to, whitewash it, he did something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him not to do. He told him to speak to the rock, and he hit the rock. End of discussion. He made a mistake. Doesn't denigrate what Moshe Rabbeinu represents and what he accomplished. Same thing Avram. Avram made a mistake. Yaakov made a couple of mistakes. But it doesn't denigrate, it doesn't reduce him from the fact that he was able to overcome his mistakes and recognize that he may have done something wrong, apologized, and you negate weiter, and that's it. But here, the Gemara doesn't want to let him live and say, no, that's not the way he was. That's not the way he was. Yeah. And there's a similar Gemara in Avodah Zarah, if you turn to page 12, on the bottom of the page, Dabdalat on the Bay says that why did David HaMelech sin? So did he do tshuva. And then, if a single individual sins, omrim lo, klachetzel yachid, go follow the example of David HaMelech. He also sinned, but he did tshuva. V'imchato tzibur, klachetzel tzibur. Fine, very nice. So the Gemara here is, like, again, trying to emphasize not the chait, but rather the fact that he did tshuva. But if he did tshuva, you have to acknowledge he did something wrong. If you believe the Gemara, that anybody who says David made a sin is only mistaken, why did he have to do tshuva if he didn't do anything wrong?
Why did he get punished?
What? Why did he get punished? Yes, yes.
Yet somehow the union was blessed with Shlomo HaMelech. I mean, it's, the irony is just the whole thing is.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It was a big chait. He got punished. Yet this is the source
survives.
Of Shlomo.
Yes. Right. Okay. Rabotai, we'll stop here. And so we continue next Tuesday night. And I went to this meeting.